Today on Real Life Radio.
There is a lie coming from the halls of hell that will be spoken either by false prophets, false teachers, or by the Antichrist himself. And the world's going to believe it because it's the beginning of God's judgment upon a Christ-rejecting age. Think of it.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible.
Hey, would you like a resource that shows you how God Himself can nourish your soul? Not with just mere words, but by truly living in His presence. Discover how our current featured resource called The Pursuit of God by the famous Christian author A.W. Tozer can transform your way of thinking about God. And we've made it available for a gift of any amount on our website at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com, where faith meets real life.
On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his new series called Futures with a message called After the Saints Go Marching In, Part 1. Now, this series is a study in what the Bible says about the future and why that really matters in our lives today. You see, after the church is raptured into heaven, the world is in a free fall. In a post-raptured world, deception will become the norm. Left behind, the people will cry for peace and safety, and that's when the son of perdition, known as the Antichrist, will be revealed. So today, Pastor Jack teaches us that in a world without Christ and His church, there will be a great reset. The Antichrist will seduce many through his policies, making himself to be like God with promises of peace, but in the end, he will destroy many. Now, with his message called After the Saints Go Marching In, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
There are those that are embracing Christ, and as it were, your very person day by day is getting molded and shaped, and you become one with Him versus the other person who hears the truth and rejects it by holding it off. Pharaoh held off the truth until he couldn't get out of it, out of his condemnation. He held it off and he stood in his falsehood until he was condemned. Think of it. Isn't that what Judas did in the garden? I believe theologically when Judas came in the garden to turn Christ over to the guards. Isn't it amazing? Judas went up to kiss him. Remember? Because the prophets said that he would be betrayed by a kiss. But what did Jesus say? Did Jesus say, "You wretch, I've been so good to you. You even did miracles when I sent you and the rest of the guys out on your first mission journey throughout Judea. You saw the power of God. You and the 11, you guys preached the gospel, cast out demons and raised the dead, and this is the thanks I get?" You remember Jesus sent out the 12 and they all did those miracles, including Judas. No, Jesus says, "Is it with a kiss that you betray the Son of Man?" Why did Jesus say that to him? I believe Jesus was giving him one more chance to say, "You know what, I'm calling this thing off, I repent." Why did Jesus quote that scripture from the Old Testament, bringing it to Judas's attention? A post-rapture world wrapped in darkness. That verse goes on. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 11 says, "For this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie." Isn't that amazing? Everybody wake up to this. This is terrifying. God will send, when the rapture takes place, there'll be those who knew the gospel, but yet toyed and played with it. Maybe you're here today and you're toying and playing with it. You say things like this, yeah, I'll believe you guys after you're out of here. Then I'll wake up, then I'll know it's true. No, you won't. No, you will not. The Bible says God will send you strong delusion so that you will believe, definite article, the lie. There is a lie coming from the halls of hell that will be spoken either by false prophets, false teachers, or by the Antichrist himself. And the world's going to believe it because it's the beginning of God's judgment upon a Christ-rejecting age. Think of it. The rapture. And how's that going to happen, by the way, when people are gone, when people are taken away? I have my opinion. Warning. This is my opinion. And it's not totally uneducated. The New Age movement for years have explained that there's going to be the next wave of evolution, and it will not be over millions of years. It will be over nanoseconds. They believe that the next evolutionary move is when man hyper moves or hyper evolves into a state of deity. This is the epitome of the New Age movement, and they preach that. So what does this mean? They have said in their writings, David Spangler or Springer is one of the guys who, by the way, he had a famous student who believes this and preaches it, or at least did. I don't know what became of her. Some woman by the name of, who's the lady down in Malibu? She was famous. Yes, Shirley MacLaine. Thank you. Shirley MacLaine. She preaches that. That what's going to happen is that the Christian who is resistant to the next wave of evolution will be removed from the earth by a great power. A great power. And some have said that it's going to be UFOs. It's going to be aliens. It's going to be, which I believe are, that's demonic. I believe it's demonic activity. Oh, did you see that? What was that thing? Oh, I had a dream and I was demonic. It's demonic. Could that explain it? Oh, wow, we saw the stuff in the sky. Didn't Jesus warn there's going to be signs in the heavens that would deceive people? What if something happens in a post-rapture world? And that's the lie. You say, well, that's ridiculous. You're correct, but that's, listen, God says, I will send them strong delusion that they will believe the lie. Could it be that that lie is, this is why your son is gone or your husband's gone? Something's going to happen. And then listen, secondly, there is left behind a cry for peace and safety. I find this remarkable, church. Peace and safety. The world always wants peace and safety. I get it. Don't you want peace and safety? Peace and safety, that's something that's us. It's our, well, it's normal. And it's good. God wants you to live in peace and safety. But you and I live in a dangerous world. And when things get dicey, you want peace and safety. But the Bible tells us about a time that's coming where all love for one another is going to be removed from this world, and there's going to be lawlessness, there's going to be wars, there's going to be mayhem, and there's going to be violence on the earth. And the Bible warns us over and over again, a cry for peace and safety. It's what man has always cried for. It's what's behind the whole concept of a utopia. Man doesn't do well when he's left on his own. And for whatever reasons, even some people today might be talking about a socialist world, just trying to bring the world together. Do you remember? Well, I'll read it next week. It's in my notes, but I know we'll never make it. Do you remember John Lennon's 1971 hit, Imagine? You got to take the time to read it. It's a globalist prayer about all of us being together as one, and we've got to do this because there'll be no more war. I understand that desire, but listen, there's only one way to end war, and that's to pray for the Prince of Peace to return. And the Antichrist is going to come onto the world scene as an imposter. There's going to be a global cry for, in a post-rapture world, the world is going to cry out for peace and safety. Listen to this. You sitting down, you got to write this. This is amazing. This doctrine is introduced to us in Daniel chapter 8, the ancient book of Daniel. Verse 25, it says, regarding the son of perdition, the Antichrist, it says, and through his policy, listen, the word policy is by his answers. Policy is answers in the Hebrew. By his answers. So church, you know why this is important? It's because people have a lot of questions. The world is going to be asking questions. He's going to have the answers. He shall cause craft to prosper. Stop right there. The word craft is the word seductive or seducing deceptions, plural. Seducing deceptions. I want you to just think about that for a moment. That's no stranger to us. Seducing deceptions. Whenever you get pulled away or taken off course from your Christian life, or maybe you're not a Christian, regardless, Satan, listen, the Bible says God loves you. That means Satan hates you. And he's out to destroy you because God loves you. And so he brings to you seducing deceptions. And Daniel says there's one coming onto the world scene. He's going to have all the answers, and you'll be able to identify his practices. He's going to seduce the world because he's going to cause craft to prosper. He's going to cause people to get what they want. But he goes on. He shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace, that's a seductive calm, he will destroy many. Peace and safety. Peace, isn't that interesting? All we want is peace. All we want is safety. From the government, give us peace and safety and get out of our way. This guy's going to come along and he's going to give the world, in a time when they don't have peace and they don't have safety, he's going to bring it, and it's all deceptive. It's amazing. Third point under this is that there is left behind a global economic, I'm not kidding you when I say, reset. Listen, we're already being conditioned about this word reset. Listen, watch out when somebody mentions to you reset. Okay, because when God's mentioning a change to you, it's something like revival. Okay, it's something like resurrection. It's something like redemption. But reset? Now listen, there's a global reset coming. The Bible tells us that there's going to be a global economic reset, and that comes from the Bible, not from the newsmakers. The Bible says in Revelation 13, 16, he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell. Imagine that. You can't use your ATM. You no longer have access to your bank account in an instant. No one can buy or sell unless they have the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Anybody know the number of his name? Say it again nice and loud. The Bible says the number of his name is 666. That there's going to come an event during the 7-year tribulation period of time, it's called, where something's going to happen, and to create a global economic reset, people are going to be issued a prefix. Don't think for a moment. Don't think, oh, you know, this and we're all, it's my social security number or it's my, no, it's not. Listen, the number 666 is a prefix. So whatever your social security number is, he's gonna have you put, you have to accept his number. You're gonna have to basically swear an oath or sign a contract. I'm gonna abide by these rules. And that it will be a number now that's 666, 123429. Are you with me? This is like your zip code, prefix. Imagine your, just your numerical world. What if all of your PIN numbers and all of your things that you have to have this 666 in front of it. The Bible says that you will, not you, the believer, but those living at that time, they will give their allegiance to him. Don't be tricked in thinking, oh my goodness, the vaccine's coming, and that's the mark of the beast. It's not the mark of the beast. It's conditioning you for it, okay? But it's not the mark of the beast. You're going to, listen, that generation of people will willfully say, I want the mark. Give me the mark. I want the mark. They're going to want to be loyal to him. Think of it. But we're being conditioned. Who would have thought in less than a year we'd be conditioned to the whatever we are today as a people? Who are we? Sit down. Stand up. Stay over there. This, you know, wash your hands. I'll put on the mask. Take off the mask. Used to plexiglass, this and that. Can't do it. Sorry, no surgery for you. It's not, you can't have this. And you can't, and we're like this. Right? Think of it. And then a guy's going to come on the scene with an answer and his policies that promise peace and prosperity. You don't think people get in line for that? Oh, they're going to get in line for that. Remarkable.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
And then number two, we'll have to end next week. We're going to get into number two, and number two is fascinating, and that is, after the saints go marching in, there is left behind a God in the making. you notice how I spelled God there? Isn't it amazing that regarding the cults, everybody gets to be God, in the cults except Jesus. Have you noticed that? We have friends that believe that if they're really faithful at what they've been called to do by their cult, that they will be gods someday. Where's the first time you ever heard a promise being made to a human that if you do what I say, you'll become a god? Satan said it in the garden. There's nothing new under the sun. We're going to learn next week. This guy comes on the scene and he's going to declare himself to be God. We're going to read it. In 2 Thessalonians 2, if you read on, he's going to stand in the temple. Now, that's interesting. 2,000 years ago, you know, the temple was destroyed in Jerusalem. But the author of the Bible, the Holy Spirit, tells us that in the last days of deception, this guy who's the pretend Christ, the imposter, he's going to stand in the temple. Well, there is no temple. But if you ask the Jews today, hey, what's going on over there? Well, we're getting ready to build the temple. Hello? Do you know they have all their priestly gear already made? Did you know that? They used to be searching for decades for the red heifer to sanctify the articles and implements. They already got it. All of this stuff, they're ready to go. You say, I don't believe it. You don't have to. They do. You see? They're ready to go. Jesus said, when they rejected him, he says, me you reject? Him, when he comes, you will receive. Here's a reference to the coming Antichrist. They rejected the real Christ, and they're going to accept an imposter. You want to know why? The Bible tells us again in the book of Daniel that he promises the Jewish state peace and prosperity. Because we're real suckers for that. I'm going to submit to you today, and we'll pick it up next week, that there's a spirit of deception in our world, and it's almost like it's been given an elastic chain. Evil seems to be going everywhere. Lying, manipulation, intrigue. What is, for example, the belief system? What are we, as a nation, who are we? When there's this part of the FBI and then there's this part of the FBI. And now we find out there's this group of the CIA and then there's this group of the CIA. What? What's happening? Deception. We can stand. We're all done, really. You can stand. Listen to this. Have you ever been to a play? I tell you, if you ever get a chance, if you're not a person who likes plays, first of all, pick a good one and go to a good one, but I'll give you one to cut your teeth in on is, if you ever get a chance, you've got to see in person, and a good one, Les Miserables. Okay, Les Miserables will blow your mind, especially if they obey, which they don't do it much on the West Coast. But I know they do in Europe because I first saw it in London. Les Miserables. Did you know that Victor Hugo required that at the end of Les Miserables that all of the players come out on the stage and there's Jean Valjean. You have the two guys, the Jean Valjean, you have the Javert, yeah? Those are the two big guys, right? The law and the sinner. Victor Hugo did Les Miserables. It's a gospel presentation. And at the end of the presentation, Victor Hugo required that the gospel be declared from Luke's gospel chapter 2 at the end of every Les Miserables. In London, they did it. I saw it in London, and it was their 83rd or 88th year in proclaiming it. Something amazing. Lisa and I went to see it in LA. Of course, it's LA. What'd they do? They left out the gospel. But Jean Valjean is a sinner. Javert is the law. All he cares about is the law. And that message is a message of grace and forgiveness. It's powerful. Before you go to the next scene, everything goes black. And you see the screen drop, and the screen is black mesh. You can see just enough, but you could see people moving around, and everyone, you know, you're looking. Because you see things moving, and it's like, oh, let's see what's next. Watch this. And then the screen goes up, and lights come on. It's a whole different scene, right? Somebody set the stage in between scenes. You could see them moving around, but you couldn't quite make it out until the lights came on. That's what's happening in the world right now. All of this global stuff. In fact, guys, can you put that quote on the screen from the Belgian Prime Minister? Paul-Henri Spaak, Belgian Prime Minister, said, former, he said, we do not want another committee. We have too many already. This is the European Union. What we want is a man of sufficient stature to hold allegiance, right? Of all people. And to lift us out of the, interesting, huh? Economic morass into which we are sinking. Send us such a man, and be he God or devil, we will receive him. Yikes. The stage is being set. That's why we're doing this series. But I can see through the veil, and I see things moving around on stage. Things are getting set up. Listen, for you to escape all this stuff that's coming when this system is void of Jesus is to give your heart to Christ. You live by your own thoughts. You do what you want to do. You look to see what's in it for you. We all know what that's like. We all lived like that before. Jesus wants to take control of your life, and he does it this way, by his Holy Spirit. And he begins first to manifest himself in your thinking. It's amazing. You say, oh, I don't know if I believe that. Well, you know what? You ought to open up your, I like saying this to people who are not Christians yet. You need to stop being so narrow-minded. Because the world is not you. It doesn't rise and set on you. There's a whole world outside of you. And Jesus said, when you find that out, you actually discover your own life. But if you live the way that you do like that, you don't find anything but death. Here's the amazing thing. You'll find out why you were made. What's your purpose? It would be terribly sad if I lived this life knowing what my purpose is and you didn't for yours when you could have. It's not your membership in a church. It's not the money you give or the things that you do. It's literally saying, Lord, if this is true, if all this is real, will you show yourself to me? And you're going to meet him in your thoughts. That's where he's going to first come knocking on your door. Because, you know, that's where everything takes place anyway up there. You're listening to you all the time, right here. And he's going to invade your thoughts, and you're going to know it. Because the syntax and the sentence structure and the words, you'll understand every one of them, but they will be it'll be a structure in words that you don't use. And he's going to say something like this. Hey, wake up. It's me. Why are you running? That's what he said to Paul, isn't it? Paul, why are you persecuting me? That had to freak Paul out. He could have said, I'm not persecuting you. I'm just killing Christians. Well, then you're persecuting me. That's a weird thought. Unless Christ resides in the believers by the Holy Spirit. And then Paul's first words out of his mouth after that, what would you have me to do, Lord? And Paul believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to do the same. You need to decide to do that. He died for your sins. He rose again from the grave. I wish we had the time. We'd go to a 15-hour flight, go to Jerusalem, 45-minute drive up from Tel Aviv to the Garden Tomb, get you in line, let you look inside. It's empty. There's nothing there. Because he's risen from the dead. You need to trust him.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called After the Saints Go Marching In, Part 1. We're so glad you took the time to be here today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's new series. It's called Futures. It's a series on prophetic scriptures from the Bible and what they mean for us today. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. So today you heard an altar call at the end of the message, and I'd like to let you know that just because it was on the radio, it doesn't make it any less real. If you felt God move in your life today and you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, we'd love to know about it, and we'd like to help you out with some resources. Visit jackhibbs.com, and there's a tab there that says Know God, and there you'll be guided through what committing to Jesus Christ really means, and the freedom that you'll find in knowing God. That's the Know God tab at our website, jackhibbs.com. One more time, jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.